Hey, do you like the Star Wars? Well, the Rancor Pit is back. Of course, I'm Cole, Jedi Cole Houston. With me, as always, is my incredible Star Wars knowledgeable and just fully enthused co-host, Mr. Eddie Medina.
Tonight, I want to be known as TK1977.
Is that your official designation, or are you just making that up? Are
you gonna... You know me. There's nothing official about me.
Okay. I'm worried that the actual TK1977 is going to come beat me up.
You know, I'm officially unofficial.
And speaking of someone who can be officially a TK, if I'm not mistaken, or a
TI,
is our special guest tonight is none other than David Petty, who you may know from the Lone Ranger episode of What'd You Think? David, welcome.
Hey, how's it going? I like turtles.
I'm right
That's
there
why
with
we
you.
Had you on here. This is
the special
turtle pit.
That's right, the turtle shell. Yeah, tonight
the
we'll
turtle
be
turtle shell.
We'll be talking about Ninja Turtles tonight, and I'm right there with you, David. So
Star Wars, you're getting turtles.
I just like to keep you guys on your toes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know why? Because shut up. That's why.
Oh, we're off to a good start.
Well, David, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And welcome, David, and David's turtle. Speaking of turtles, the reason I mentioned somebody who could actually be a TK, David, you are an actual official bona fide card-carrying, number-wielding member of the 501st Legion. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm one of 6,000. I sound like a collectible.
Oh, nice!
Yeah.
So which number are you? Are you numbered sequentially, or is it just sort of a general distinction?
Well, they actually give you some rules and stipulations. You know, I think we're up to 5 numbers. When I joined, we were up to 4. And you couldn't pick TK 421 because that was already chosen. I believe Alvin Johnson has that one. He's the guy that founded it.
I would have thought that one you couldn't have because that guy was like an idiot and got himself clobbered.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, let's face it, the whole group is like full of idiots. So
that's true. I guess they weren't exactly going for a brain trust when they were hiring stormtroopers.
Now we're going to have to avoid the 501st at all con.
No, I do want to point out that the 501st costuming group, which is, of course, who we're talking about, the fan group who produce produce and wear these amazing film quality or better in some cases.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say better.
Costumes. To conventions, children's hospitals, do all kinds of amazing charity work and stuff. But we're speaking in this case of the idiots being the actual stormtroopers that you see on film, not the people who dress up like them, who are infinitely smarter. And if the 501st costuming group were in charge of security on the Death Star, Han and Luke would have been dead.
That's not necessarily true because I don't think their aim is just as good, though. I mean, I think it's actually worse than what you'd see in the movies.
Well, I mean, you have to question the logic of wearing sunglasses indoors.
Wait, say that again?
You have to question the logic of having everyone wear sunglasses indoors.
Well, here's one for you. They can't go up the stairs.
What?
That's why they have the elevator, David.
Well, yeah, I know. But that's why we lost the Battle of Endor, because it was up there.
Oh,
So, there you go. No, I mean, if you can't go, like, the stairs are very challenging for stormtroopers. I'm a TIE fighter pilot, so I can sit down and stand up and do all sorts of stuff. But those 4 stormtroopers couldn't move at all.
That's why if I was to be a trooper, I would definitely be a biker scout, because they seem like they have more mobility than the others.
Yeah, but they run into trees.
That's true. Yeah, TIE fighter pilots just run into asteroids.
Yeah.
Asteroids. I mean, asteroids kill planets, and they also kill TIE fighters.
TIE fighter pilots don't kill people. Asteroids kill TIE fighter pilots, so there.
Please. Oh, my gosh.
In fact, I'm pushing for a movement of asteroid control, honestly. I think that the government needs to control asteroids on a steady basis.
They have the resources, obviously. They had to spend all that money on that stinking Death Star. They could have cleared that field out in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point. I didn't think about that.
Well, as an Imperial, you're not allowed to think of that.
Well, actually, can I tell you a funny story? And I actually got it verified at that HelioCon that we were at.
Uh-huh.
My friend who, in North Carolina, his costume is a biker scout, and he talked to Dickie Beer, who was one of the, he was Boba Fett, but he was also a biker scout. And Dickie said that the Ewoks, the people playing the Ewoks, and the people playing the Stormtroopers and Scouts were in two different camps. So you had one camp was, you know, the actors playing the troopers, and the other camp was the Ewoks, right?
Yeah.
Well, when they yelled action, the Ewoks came out of nowhere and started beating the crap out of the troopers.
It's because they're method actors.
Exactly. But when they yelled, when they yelled action, they just started beating the heck out of everybody. But when they yelled cut, they didn't stick around. They just laughed left and just left quickly. They didn't know where they were. And so when we ran into that one guy, what's his name? Felix Silla.
Oh, you know, Felix Silla, yeah.
Return of the Jedi. I asked him that very question. I told him what I just told you, and he started laughing. And he said, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He said, yeah, we gotta kick the crap out of those guys. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to watch that scene the same way again, to be quite honest.
They were taking that to heart. I guess they were, you know, practice guerrilla filmmaking, literally.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me tell you something. That is a lifelong dream to be able to beat the crap out of someone taller than me.
I would bet, because, and to give a little frame of reference, myself, I'm 6'2". As you've seen our art for this show, Eddie makes a point to point out that I'm taller than him.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to point out that Eddie is actually taller than David, so.
I'm about 5'8". What are you, David?
5'3¼". I got to have that quarter.
you should count everything.
You really should.
In that case, I'm 5'8 and 35 cents.
There you are.
I'm 6'2" and 1 centimeter.
Hey, okay, David, you said the guy's name, his first name was Dickie?
Yep, the guy's name is Dickie Beer. Look him up.
Okay, so. In essence, his name could be Dickie Fett, because he played Boba Fett, right? You said he played a Boba Fett?
Yeah, he, I don't know if he did the voice, but he was, a lot of people played Boba Fett in Empire Strikes Back. It really kind of astounds me that we just consider Jeremy Bullock to be the quintessential Boba Fett, but really, it was John Morton, the guy who played Dak at one time, donned the Fett gear as well.
Yeah.
It sounded like that just kind of got passed around, like pretty much everybody on the show. There's that one scene where, you know, the suit is just like dripping off of him, and that was the one where I think Felix Silla played Boba Fett.
Yeah.
it doesn't really work. He was the only one who's still on the set because he was just there in the forest. They found him.
Isn't that what happened in Star Wars, though, was with Greedo, like, Greedo was supposed to be played by a man, but then he left, and then they wanted Greedo again, and there was only a woman left.
Yeah.
This one woman, and they said, oh, you can play Greedo.
Yeah.
So there you are.
That kind of shattered it for me, because Greedo was always one of my favorite bounty hunters from the first movie, and when I found out...
So it really bothered you that it was a woman in the suit?
Oh, well, yeah, I'm being sexist. I'm being sexist.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. I think
we'll be accepting applications for new co-hosts.
Does that mean I get bumped up from special guest?
That's right. You are now the host of the show, and Eddie is our guest. I'd like to welcome our special guest, Eddie Medina.
Oh, it's good to be here. The all-boys.
Misogynist.
Sexism in Star Wars.
Yeah, the, what was it, the He-Man Woman Haters Club that was on on Little Rascals?
Oh, jeez. Well, I was telling Camille, my wife, that my mom would not let me buy any female toys whatsoever, even if they were in G.I. Joe or Ninja Turtles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like, wow, I guess you're really trying to protect me from something.
Wow. So no Lady J, no Scarlet, no CoverGirl. Man, that's harsh.
Oh, dude, all my toys, man, just nothing but a sausage trap.
Well, at least with Star Wars, there's like, it was sort of like Popeye. There's only one girl.
Yeah, but I didn't have any. Oh, okay, let's move on past.
That's kind of a staple of the JCU, is you really get off topic pretty quickly and you stay off topic for most of the show.
it wouldn't be one of the shows on my network if we didn't get, like, you know, we started out talking about Star Wars and then, you know, next thing you know, we're like quoting Dr. Strangelove or something. But speaking of the topic, it's a good segue into what we haven't done is really directly address the topic of this episode, And that is, we're here to talk about all things Imperial, and that's why we were really happy that David agreed to join us, because he's suited up as an Imperial. He's been out there as a TIE fighter pilot. He and his wife Camille have both been behind the wheel of a TIE fighter, as it were.
To brag, as the TIE fighter pilots go in the 501st, yours truly has done the most missions, meaning I've done over 250 events.
Wow.
In nice. Costume.
Nice.
And has yet to hit a single asteroid.
Yeah. Children are a different story. Actually, they hit me plenty of times.
So does
get ornery after a while.
So, David, when you and I first met, was that considered a mission?
Was I in costume?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I was. Yes.
There
yes,
you go. There counted. You go. I got to tell the audience real quick that this is how I met David. The place I was working at was putting on an awards assembly, and the guy who was in charge of getting it together was a big Star Wars fan, so he made it a Star Wars themed assembly. So he got a hold of the 501st, and David and a couple of his partners in crime came up there in costume. But the funny part about it is they rented costumes of Vader, Royal Guard, and my friend Daisy came dressed up as Princess Leia.
Didn't have anyone donning the Boba Fett costume, because apparently everyone's worn that.
And no, we didn't have anybody short enough. We didn't have any midgets available that day for the Boba Fett costume.
Hey, little people.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, people McNuggets. Sorry. Well, what? No. What?
Wow.
No. So,
yeah, David, you're well on your way to cementing your place as the new host of the show.
So lo and behold, they bring the rental costumes up there, and the guy they had picked for Vader, who was about 6'2", didn't even come close to fitting in the costume. So I got elected. And so you can imagine a 5'8 Darth Vader walking around with everybody else in costume was taller than me, with the exception of David, obviously.
Yeah, but, I think you were a tall Vader.
Yeah, I was pretty much Dark Helmet from Spaceballs.
Yeah, Vader.
Did you have anybody come up to you and say, aren't you a little short for a Vader?
Yeah, only about a couple of dozen people came up.
It didn't get tiresome at all throughout the course of the entire day.
And it didn't help the fact that Daisy and I are pretty much the same height, but I don't know if she was wearing heels that day, so even she was taller than me at that point. So I was like, it's pretty bad when Leia, she's looking at Vader saying, okay, who's your daddy?
Well, I'm going to tell you something from my experience in the 501st. When you do events, people only know two characters in the Empire, and that's Vader and a Stormtrooper.
Yeah.
And so when they see me, I get called Vader all the time.
Oh, I didn't talk about that.
I am not joking. So many people have said, look, Vader. I thought he was taller, but no joke. People have actually called me Vader.
Wow.
And I thought he had a cape. Where's your cape?
Yeah, why do you have a gun instead of a lightsaber? I don't remember Vader having hoses. And didn't he have shields?
Yeah. You obviously don't remember a lot about the movie either.
Yeah. Truth.org.
Exactly. That is awesome.
And I guess while we're swapping David's stories, one of the things we were talking about before the show is that David, when not piloting a TIE fighter, pilots one of the most awesome cars in the area.
Yes.
Probably the most awesome, so that what's his name who has the Batmobiles over in Dallas can suck it.
Yeah.
Who is that? Who is that guy?
Was it Russ Martin?
Oh, yeah, Russ Martin.
Russ Martin can suck it because, frankly, David's car is cooler.
Well, Russ Martin can suck it for a lot of reasons, but that's just one of them.
Did you realize that, did he have the Camaro Batmobile?
Sure. Yeah, we'll say that he did.
Oh, okay.
I can neither confirm nor deny this.
We don't research stuff on this show. Yeah. Come on now.
Now, obviously, David has never listened to this or any of these shows.
Well, obviously, nobody listens to our show.
Why should it be any different than any other show on this network?
Sorry.
Now, David, seriously, rethink. Why did I go on this show? Nobody listens. But David has a, I don't know cars, but it's like a sports car of some kind.
97 Firebird.
97 Firebird. Well, there you go. You can't go wrong there. But it is tricked out like if the Firebird had a tryst with an A-wing fighter, that this would be the love child of that unholy coupling. Or actually, now I think about it, that is a pretty holy coupling. I can endorse that particular mating because the result of what's not to love, their offspring was David's car, mm-hmm. which is just like all done up as if, you know, if you took the wheels off, you could pretty much just put it in space and away you go.
Oh, we should get a picture. We should get a picture of it for the episode.
Yeah, send us a picture so we can show people.
You know, I drove back in that car.
Huh?
I actually drove Dak in that car, John Morgan.
Oh, sweet.
Wow, yeah. Nice.
And you didn't get stepped on either.
Did not get stepped on. He didn't die in my car, thank God. But I
well, there were no asteroids.
I didn't have a malfunction in fire control, thank God. So.
Yeah, you don't want to malfunction your fire control.
There's two things that make me very close to Luke Skywalker. Actually, three things. One is the fact that Carrie Fisher kissed me on the cheek.
Oh, there you go.
I have an R2 unit in the back of my transport, whatever the heck you want to call it. And my co-pilot at one time was Dak.
Wow.
Oh, and I'm short. So there you go. Four things.
It's just like all over the place. You're just practically the local Luke Skywalker, as it were.
Exactly. And we're not going to...
He got in your car, did he say anything about like feeling like he could take on the whole empire, or did that just get tiresome for him?
No, I don't know what we talked about. I was just kind of in a daze.
Oh, wow.
I actually got lost at one point, and it was like, oh, crap.
That's funny. Oh, so what's the story with Leia? How'd you get a kiss from Carrie Fisher?
Well, it's actually one of my favorite stories, because when I was dating my wife, you know, she lived in Texas, I lived in North Carolina, and we would have rendezvous to where, you know, we'd meet. You know, we've been all over the country dating. And we met at, you know, we decided to rendezvous at Celebration 5, and I bought a Carrie Fisher autograph, and I was getting ready to meet her. My wife, now, you know, she was sick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this autograph. I'm going to sacrifice this ticket that I paid for, and I'm going to get my wife a Princess Leia, you know, autograph. So I'm dressed as a Rebel Fleet Trooper, and I'm in line with my friend, and I said, I'm going to ask her for a kiss on the cheek. And there was a girl behind me that said, good luck, and rolled her eyes. And I got her to sign a picture for my wife, and, you know, to Camille, blah, 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 blah. And then I said, can I have a kiss on the cheek? And thank God I caught her right before, you know, they say that she gets crankier as the day goes longer.
I was going to say right before she went crazy, but yeah.
Yeah. But she was very sweet. She, kind of rolled her eyes and gave me a nice fresh one right on the cheek.
Well, probably because you were the first person ever to actually dare to ask that question. She probably has seen it in the back of people's minds, like through their eyes, if they're thinking, you know, because she could probably spot crazy too. But
yeah, they smell their own.
Yeah. Yes. But she's probably thinking, you know, how often have I seen somebody with that just like right on the tip of their tongue? And then they get their autograph, and they go, oh, thank you, and then off they go.
Yeah.
And you know, to be the first person to dare to do something is often all it takes to achieve that something.
All I know is I left that booth with my hands up in the air.
Oh, wow.
So I was very happy.
I have to say about the car is that I met David ages ago because we both were friends with Star Wars Super Collectors Wish Book creator and author Jeffrey Carlton, who has been on this show before. And so, you know, we've both been to AllCon and you know, been around and seen each other stuff. So then a couple of years ago, Catherine and I go to Celebration in Orlando, and they've got these really great Star Wars themed cars, from paint jobs to, you know, full out customization like David's, on display. And we're checking out this car, and it's like, it's got this R2-D2 in the back of it, and it's got all the lights and the guns and the FUD and everything. And then, like, 2 or 3 months later, I'm like, wait a minute, that was the car at Celebration. I already knew the person who owned the car before I realized, you know, like, who owns these cars? You know, you never see the people who have these amazing things, and, uh-huh. and sure enough, yeah. You know, I already knew David. I didn't know he had this car, and I think I'd seen it at least one more time since then in the area, and never made the connection.
I'll give you a ride in it sometime if you'd like.
Only if I can say that I feel like I could take on the whole empire when I get in.
No, because then you're going to die.
Oh, that's right. I won't say that. That's right.
And then who's going to host?
Because you've already offered to speak at my funeral. I don't want you to be the reason.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I do want to point out that before we started the show, David did offer to speak at my funeral, which he's the first person ever to extend that particular offer. And for that, I thank him.
Yeah.
I don't know why that should be something I would encourage, but, you know, again, it comes down to be the first person to do it.
Oh,
I'm a giving guy. What can I say?
Hey, David, let me ask, because the first time I heard about the term Favo First, was the first time I remember hearing about it was relating to your group of peeps.
Cohorts.
Yeah. And so I guess the next time I heard about it after that was I saw it on the packaging of a figure, and then, of course, after that, it was referenced, you know, in the prequels. Mm-hmm. Did that all that stem from the group Favo First? Did they incorporate it into Lucasfilm because of y'all?
What happened, I don't know the complete story, but I had just joined right after it happened, from what I've been told. Mm-hmm. But basically, somehow, George Lucas... You know, it's his creativity that, you know, he owns that. He has the creative right. But he talked the person that was running the 501st at the time into basically giving him or selling him, I don't know the whole story there, the name. So basically LFL owns the right to the 501st name.
Oh.
So, right. So we don't work for them, but we work very closely with them.
Okay, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a kind of a give and take on that part. I mean, George is really proud of his fans, and he just loves it. He loved the fact that the 501st was doing stuff for charity.
Yeah.
You know, and that was something that he had his hand in. So, yeah, I mean, the long and short of it is that he just wanted to have the 501st name in the prequel, episode 3, which, by the way, it was also in a video game before it was in Clone Wars as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's
it was
right.
In Battlefront, because you saw it in, before people are going crazy correcting me, this is how I know it. It was first heard in episode 3, or at least referred to in a book in episode 3, and then it was in a video game on like PSP, you know, on the PlayStation Portable, then it was all over the place in Clone Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the 501st, for those who don't know, and if you're listening to the show, I'm going to assume you do know about them, but yeah, they're such a cool group because they do so many really neat charity events dealing with kids, and y'all do like Make-A-Wish foundations and stuff like that type thing?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
I got to say, the one that really I'll never forget was the story I read probably within the past year of the 501st acting as pallbearers to a young fan at his funeral.
Oh, yeah. Oh yep. Man.
I'm going to admit here and now that I got a lump in my throat when I read that story. That was an amazing story.
You know, not to... I don't know whether this... I'm bragging or I'm kind of playing it down, but, you know, you just kind of get used to that when you're in this club because you see that all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we visited hospitals... Yeah. This year alone, we visited hospitals like 3 or 4 times. And so we've seen kids that they're, you know, in some really hard to believe, you know, situations where it's like, oh my gosh, that kid, you know, just lying there.
Yeah.
I remember seeing kids standing up to see us and he looked like an old man.
Yeah.
Things of that nature. And then you're constantly raising money and you know, you're presented with all these interesting situations. You know, my favorite story is actually one of my not favorite stories is we were raising money at Band-Aids, and then I mean there's so many. Ben Stevens has 3 conventions out here in Dallas. Sci-Fi Expo, Band-Aids, and Dallas Comic Con. And it just feels like a blur every time because it just gets so mixed together.
It really does.
But for 1 year at 2 different conventions we did a thing called Blaster Trooper where basically people can shoot. You know, they donate money and then they can shoot a rifle at a stormtrooper. And we were raising the money for a member who, one, had a friend who had cancer and needed money, And then the next time it was a member's mom who had cancer.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that amazed me.
Nice that she had cancer, but nice that, you know, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll shut up.
She's nice that she presented with that opportunity. Yeah.
Exactly.
But the thing that got to me was not, you know, well, everyone's pitching together and helping to raise money. In fact, the people that were donating had so many stories. I couldn't believe how many cancer survivors there were.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. You wouldn't believe. They come up to you and they talk to you about it, and they were talking to my friend, making sure his mom was getting, you know, well, make sure that you get this and make sure you get that, and you tell the doctor. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing what
wow.
you see. Yeah.
That's really neat. That's the kind of stories of fandom that you don't hear enough of.
Absolutely.
You know, people always want to talk about the negative, but man, you hear stuff like that, it just really reaffirms your faith and fandom and your fellow fans and all.
Well, what's also amazing about that is, you know, you go to the conventions and there's all kinds of people always dressed up as whatever characters, you know, that sort of thing's been going on forever. And it's really nice that the people who hold the rights, are embracing that, you know, the fandom and saying, you know, do go out there and make these amazing costumes and do these things. And, you know, because it would be so easy for them to say, you know, well, the Lucasfilm Limited owns the fully rights, these images, and we're going to have to ask you to take off your costume. And,
you know, that happened with Paramount.
Really?
I'm not
surprised.
A friend of mine, she's one of the original members of the 501st Legion. Her name's Cher. She said she was at a convention where Paramount came in and said, this isn't licensed, we have to take it. This isn't licensed, we have to take it. You know, and the only things you can keep are the licensed stuff. And, you know, she likes to use that as an example because she's scared that could happen with us one day. But I think you hit a point that's very interesting, is that cosplay in general, I think George Lucas had a lot to do with it because he saw the benefits, and then other companies saw the benefits of their stuff, you know, being portrayed by cosplayers and costumers.
Exactly.
And they absolutely now adore it. It's like one of those things now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I never thought of that until you said that. Interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, there's so much propriety in entertainment properties that it would, the really frightening thing that could happen is that you have a situation where they, you know, they're sending in their people, you know, sending in legal teams and going around saying, well, you know, that isn't officially licensed costume. We're going to have to ask you to take it off. And then they wind up saying, actually, I'll tell you what, put it back on.
Right. Yeah. Well,
we didn't think that one through. I tell you what, just don't do it again. How about that?
Well, I know for a fact Disney does that whenever they catch somebody going to a convention wearing a staff type of costume. Because, you know, the people that work at Disneyland, you know, like they wear the Haunted Mansion costumes. And then costumers get their hands on that. And sometimes they'll show up to, like, Dragon Con wearing it.
Yeah.
And there's a Disney representative. They will go straight up to him and say, hey, where did you get that you're not supposed to be wearing?
Wow. It's kind of like there was that one story of the girl and her boyfriend showed up at Disney World dressed as Tinkerbell and Peter Pan, and they wouldn't admit him into the park because of that. Which I can kind of see because, you know, they don't want them going in there and then people confuse them with the workers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're already paying somebody to do that. You don't
You
know.
But, yeah.
Well, that you don't want them saying the wrong things, you know.
Well, exactly.
I'm going to eat your soul.
That's a bit extreme, but sure.
but you know, the thing about it is, you could don the Peter Pan costume, go out and say that, and then, you know, duck into the bathroom and change into your civvies, and then pretty soon the poor hack who's playing Peter Pan in the park is, you know, being given his walking papers.
Yeah, out on the street.
Without the benefit of telling some bratty kid he's going to eat his soul.
Well, the funny thing is, something like that kind of happened, but with a Disney employee. you need to look it up on YouTube. During the Star Wars weekend, I forgot what year, but there was this sweet, innocent boy with autism, and the parents were saying, go up to the characters when they walk by in the parade and ask for a hug. And so, you know, Amidala would come by, ask for a hug. So, you know, he'd get a hug from Amidala, and then their character came by, ask for a hug, and he got a hug. And then Darth Maul came by.
Oh, no.
And they're like, ask Darth Maul for a hug. Well, the Disney employees teach their actors, quote unquote, to be in character.
Uh-oh.
And so Darth Maul, like, didn't know what to do and just shoved the boy.
Oh,
oh wow.
This is on video?
It's on video. Look it up. He literally, like, pushes the boy and gives him a grimace.
But I, in defense of the Darth Maul guy, I have to say that the kid was probably half expecting that, you know, when he got shot, he's like, that was the best hug yet.
Okay.
Because that's the hug he was expecting.
Yeah. Okay, was the kid dressed as Anakin? Because if that was the case, I can see it being justified.
I'm surprised. Yeah, he couldn't have been dressed as Anakin because everyone would have shoved him.
What the hell? Jar Jar, maybe, but Anakin?
Oh, gosh. We'll teach that kid to have fun. Oh, boy.
So
that's pretty epic.
Well, let's segue now out of the nonfiction section of the show and into the fiction. Part of the idea we had with the show, we wanted David on definitely because we wanted to talk about the actual 501st group and some personal anecdotal stories about, you know, fandom. But we also want to talk on this episode about just pretty much do kind of a little bit of an exploration of the Empire and, you know, for lack of a better term, their employees.
Yeah.
And, you know, from very poor choices in ordnance, like having your soldiers have their whole head covered up with something they can't see out of and then wondering why you have so much trouble getting anything done as an Empire.
A grenade strapped to basically the top of your buttock. I don't know if anyone got that, but yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a grenade on the back of the belt.
Oh, okay. So that's what that is. I always thought it was like their little thing that they kept their lunch in or something.
Yeah, no, their little credit cards. Space credit.
Wow, or their reading glasses. They just kind of slot them in there and keep them safe.
Exactly.
The story is that's a thermal detonator, and it's like, man, as a rebel, do you think that would be like the first thing you'd be aiming for?
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. Wow.
Go boom.
Or you know, perhaps like tossing other thermal detonators at them,
mm-hmm.
right?
In hopes of setting off their thermal detonators, and like it'd be like a string of fireworks after a while. Just like they're, you know, marching in formation. It's like a Chinese New Year on the Imperial Parade. That's a scene I want to see in like episode 7 through 9.
I just got an image of that scene from one of the Pink Panther movies where all the fireworks are going off in the warehouse, but you're replacing Peter Sellers with the stormtrooper or something.
That's the fact, though.
Well, you know, the thing about it is on screen.
Uh-huh.
The main Imperials you ever see are the Stormtroopers. It's like you were saying that everybody knows Darth Vader and Stormtroopers, and that's pretty much where the rank the unwashed public knowledge ends. It's the hardcore fans who can recognize a TIE fighter pilot or an Imperial guard or what have you. But you know, it's kind of a mixed bag because on the one hand, Luke's whining about how he can't see out of the helmet, and on the other hand. Ben Kenobi, in his typical sell you a bill of goods fashion, is trying to point out that the stormtroopers are really precise with their marksmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if maybe the really precision firing stormtroopers are the ones that bother to take their helmets off before they fire.
Oh.
Well, you do realize that Luke and Han are pretty darn accurate with the blaster with the helmet on when they're in the prison cell.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true, because, you know, Luke accuses him of blasting everything in sight, but he hits everything he aims for.
Yeah, in fact, Han even yells, look out!
Yeah.
And so he can, yes, peripheral, So, I don't know. Maybe they're all like, the stormtroopers are all like clones and it's just a really bad batch.
Yeah, they're a copy of a copy of a copy.
Oh, yeah. So it comes like that Michael Keaton multiplicity thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Except there's no oversight. All the early clones just walked off. That's why they quit giving them names. Well, I got my identity now. I'm out of here.
I can tell you one thing, though, as a fact, is if you run into a 501st member, let's say at a convention, you see a stormtrooper, you are going to see, for the most part, 90% of the time, a different lens in the helmet than in the movie, because the movie, it's called the bubble lens versus the flat lens.
Yeah.
And you can't see out of a bubble lens. It's extremely accurate, but you can't see with crap. You know, so maybe that's why they can't shoot well, because of the bump. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
But you call into question exactly how accurate are they. But you would also think, you know, you're living in a universe where you can get, you know, flying hamburgers off the ground and out into space. You know, even though they're decidedly un-aerodynamic and they're asymmetrical. And,
yeah.
Hey, there's an olive on the side of that, too. So.
And you've got your land speeder, speeder bike repulsor lift technologies. You've got all this tech at your disposal. You can go drive around the universe and blow up planets. And so I guess there's sort of this implicit idea that the Stormtrooper helmet is like better than not having the Stormtrooper helmet. At least that would be your hope.
Yeah, you think, right?
Yeah, you would hope it'd be like, you know, when Iron Man's flying around in the movies and he's got all the heads up displays and little swirling circles and things that mean nothing.
Yeah.
And you can kind of half imagine that's what's going on. Perhaps that's why Luke can't see a thing in his helmet, because all of a sudden he's getting all this, you know,
well,
he's got the Google Glass on, and he's never worn them before.
He's ADD, and he can't concentrate on all too many things at once.
He's just a simple farm boy. He's not used to like having Times Square erupt an inch from his eyeball.
I hate to be the Debbie Downer here, because you guys are having a great time.
Debbie Downer.
To be technical, to be the geek in this group, wow. But the reason why, one of the other reasons why they have the helmet on, from what I read, was also because you put the helmet on, you all look the same. At least that was the idea. And so you're one unit, and nobody's different from the other.
Well, it's like private school. It's the uniforms.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we talked about this before. The poor
troopers. They're not as sexy as the Catholic schoolgirl uniforms. But,
I
guess, you know, if you're into, like, all white with a little, you know, a little bit of black rubber showing, that's pretty sexy.
Yeah, but then you get the sand troopers who are wearing the pauldrons, and they're all different colors. And,
oh, that's true. I guess if you're stationed on Tatooine, it's sort of a conceit.
Right.
You know, normally we'd all look the same, but, you know, throw these guys a bone. They're stuck out in the heat all day, and they got to carry big backpacks. The guys on the Death Star do that? I don't think so.
Yeah, but what's so funny is that as a 501st member, when we do events, I can actually tell who's who when they're in their armor. So there goes that whole, like, you know, that whole lack of individuality, because I can totally tell one member from the other.
Well, you know, the same is true for school uniforms.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that's right, because they don't generally have helmets.
Yeah, well, my school did.
I forgot about that part.
My school did, but that's because it was in Oak Cliff, and we had to wear army helmets, you know, because all the bullets zipping by.
Oh, wow. Wow, way to slam our mutual old family.
Well, yeah, that's a cool school. I want to go there.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, you know, I was, when I was living in Oak Cliff, we were going to the mean streets of the private schools there.
Yeah.
You grew up pretty tough when you went to Williamson Academy there over on Clarendon.
Williamson, was that real?
Because it's just tough. I just went to Long Beach, California, you know, where the gangs are and where Snoop Dogg's from. What do I know?
See, my gang was the Angry Scotsman of Oak Cliff.
Oh, my gosh.
We were well known for our drive-by cabering.
Yeah. I think the gang I was in was called G-Force, and yes, it was based on Battle of the Planets.
Did you have to have, like, little bird beak helmets on?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Well, weren't very intimidating.
I bet you got beat up a lot.
Did you ever, like, tell them that, look, you can take my school money or my lunch money, but you can never take my freedom? That curiosity.
No, I pretty much give it all over, freedom and all. You can take it all. Take my dignity.
Take it.
Yeah.
Because at the point where you're dressed up in the bird beak helmet, you've already taken your dignity.
Yeah, and for some reason I always ended up as being Keop, which if you don't know, that's the little goofy boy one.
Wait.
Yeah, there you go.
You have a speech impediment or something?
I think,
yeah. Really overcome it. I'm proud of you, David. I'm afraid he's back to being co-host.
His story
moves me deeply.
Why don't I check this and racist at the same time? Maybe I can.
It's that personal story of triumph over a childhood ailment that I got to take him back.
Yeah,
I think steroids.
I gotta say, this is the second time I've been accused of being racist on a podcast. The other time was on Super Probo Sports Balls when they asked who I wanted to be on my basketball team, and I named all the black superhero characters. It's like, what's wrong with that?
It was a little racist.
It's just a little bit. Like Andy said, it's just the truth.
Yeah. You wouldn't want Superman on your basketball team?
What's that?
You wouldn't want Superman on your basketball. The guy flies, and you wouldn't want him on your basketball.
No, I'll definitely. So does Meteor Man. Meteor Man's on my team.
See, look, he's got to do that.
And the Falcon. The Falcon flies, too. He was on my team. Does Black Lightning fly?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, okay. Well, he's on the bench, then.
Didn't you do enough damage?
Okay,
let's guys, what part of Star Wars was this on?
Yeah. Well, yet again, we've fallen off the rails a bit.
My gosh!
Well, that little bit was for Andy, since he gets such a kick out of that episode.
So one of the things I do want to bring up is that on a personal level, like, you know, growing up with the first three, the original trilogy, and you got to get, you know, in the first one, you got Stormtroopers and you got your Sand Troopers, which is kind of a variation on a theme. And I guess you had your TIE Fighter pilots. And then by Empire, you got pretty much the same thing without the Sand Troopers. And then by Jedi, you're getting a whole new classes of Imperial soldiery.
Yeah.
Because you get your Biker Scouts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get they're like the specialized action team.
Oh, yeah. I always wanted to be a Biker Scout.
And then got the incredibly cool Emperor's Royal Guard.
Oh, God.
And the reason I want to bring up the Emperor's Royal Guard is I think that they represent, like, if you're like the biggest ass-kicking guy in your troop, you're probably eventually going to wind up an Imperial, a Royal Guard. And the reason I say that is they literally can kick your ass with one arm tied behind their back. That's one of the really cool things to me about that costume design. Is it suggested these guys are so badass, they only have to have their right hand where they can get to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're going to have the most inefficient costume for somebody whose job is effectively to be a bodyguard. You know, would you want to be the president of the United States if the Secret Service all had one arm?
No, I was just going to say I kind of disagree.
Oh, it's just because you're a TIE fighter.
Uh-oh.
I hate those guys.
That's because he represents the Empire and you represent the Jedi Council, so that's why.
No, I'm just saying, they get their butt kicked by Yoda. We don't invoke the prequels.
We're not going to invoke the prequels.
Okay.
You don't like to talk about
they don't
prequels.
Do anything. They don't do anything except the Jedi.
That's like
They even leave the Emperor when they probably shouldn't, just because he says, leave us.
Yeah.
Straighten out their linen?
Fired.
Huh?
That was a test. Guess who's getting fired?
Yeah. But how do you win at that? Because
those two are out.
Yeah, but if you don't listen, then you're in trouble for not obeying his orders. But
I'm just saying that, you know, I'd probably say Biker Scouts probably kick a lot more butt than Logan's. I know the whole history and all that, but I mean, it's just, when you look at it, there's just a helmet that can't look left or right, and they're wearing dresses.
Yeah, they're more...
No, not even dresses. Hey. They're not even wearing dresses. They're wearing Wookiee Life Day garments.
They are,
oh,
I hadn't thought about that.
Oh my gosh, that's genius. I didn't make that connection
welcome.
Either. So maybe they're Wookiees under there.
Maybe they are.
Oh, it could be. That's why they have to wear. That's why they're all covered up head to toe, so nobody can tell that they're Wookiees.
Well, yeah, they got the glove, and they're kind of tall. I bet you they're Wookiees.
Like, go open your
present. Oh.
I do have to point out. You know, you mentioned the guys being told to leave, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking that as Vader is picking up the Emperor and chucking him down the inexplicable energy shaft,
uh-huh,
like, why would you put that in your office? Okay, but we did it anyway. We were in a bit of a hurry. We'll forgive it. But as he's getting the shaft, all I can imagine is thinking, really not the best idea to send the guards out.
Yeah.
That's probably the last thing the Emperor had going through his mind, if I'd only had them stay.
Well, keep in mind that the guards were like a mile away from where the actual action was happening. There was no reason for them to leave.
Well, at that point, these guys are like 150 stories down in the lounge,
right,
having a cigarette and thinking, well, when do you think he wants us back? Well, he'll call.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they hear a thump on the ground, and they look out, oh, boy.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
And all of a sudden, you know, one of them gets out, he's like, I'm going to go get another coffee. You want one? And a guy, like, midway is saying, no, I'm trying to cut down, is then turned into instantly vaporized with the rest of the Death Star. Sad but true tale.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point too. And that's the thing, is you never see any Royal Guards running away off the Death Star.
Yeah.
They went just
all down to the lounge. They've all been dismissed.
Yeah, exactly.
That and the fact that they look silly when they run. I mean, you got the long flowing red rope.
Oh my gosh, this is epic.
Well, yeah, I'm actually still in awe of the fact that it never occurred to me that they're wearing Life Day robes.
Yeah. You know, there's that, there's those two Dark Horse Comics miniseries, Crimson Empire, where the Royal Guards are actually, they actually see a lot of action. You know, the robes get thrown back, and they, you know, you see them full body, you know, swinging around, doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
I think the one test to know if they really are Wookiees is to give them something to swing across, like a chasm or something.
Or hang up a piece of dead meat.
Oh, that's true.
For the record, there was a chasm on the Death Star.
Yeah, but I think if they were swinging and you heard them go,
gosh, the Tarzan, you
know that they're Wookiees.
Uh-huh.
Sure, that's a bone of contention for me as a whole.
Yeah, the both of us. Oh, my gosh.
I'm not at all thrilled that ever happened twice.
Twice at that, yeah.
Speaking of Wookiees, you do realize Peter Mayhew lives out here in Texas.
Yeah.
Well, Peter Mayhew was actually a very big fan of Ron Ely.
Are you kidding?
Yes.
Oh, I thought.
I'm kidding.
Good, because we were looking at Ron Ely right now.
I was thinking, well, so that is totally.
Mayhew, I'm going to ask him about that.
You're...
And Mayhew's going to be like, what the bloody hell are you talking?
I would have never asked him, because as soon as you said, I thought, he's kidding. I'm just waiting for the rest of the joke.
You would either ask him that, or you would ask him if he would kiss you on the cheek.
Yeah. I've already gotten a kiss on the cheek from him, so that's nothing new.
I knew, because you would sooner kiss a Wookiee.
Yes! you got it. Oh, my gosh.
This guy's kissed by a Wookiee. David, what are, just out of curiosity, I don't know if you're like me and overthink every single aspect of Star Wars on a constant basis to the point where you're driven half mad, but in case something akin to that has ever happened, any personal observations on the Imperial forces?
Well, let me see, because my wife and I actually do talk about this before we go to bed sometimes.
That's y'all's pillow talk?
No, it is, actually.
I'm not criticizing. I'm not criticizing because my wife and I...
I would point out that is so cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. My wife and I, our pillow talk is talking about Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster most of the time.
And Big Blue.
Yeah, Big Blue.
Ask me a question, because it's such a general, that's such a general topic. I mean, okay. Gosh, I don't even know where to start on something like that.
How come the armor doesn't save them from getting hit, killed by a blaster?
Oh, there he goes again about the armor not being
that
like...
That bugs me.
That's actually kind of funny, because there's a music video called White Trash, and you need to look it up on YouTube, where basically, not only are those pieces of armor designed for you to get shot, but for you to explode. Because every stormtrooper that gets shot, there seems to be a miniature explosion coming out of the head, or the body of some sort. So,
yeah, they do get like this sort of flaming implosion look every time.
They really do.
Yeah. You think that like once the laser penetrates the armor, it just kind of bounces around in there so fast that it causes that explosion?
I don't know.
Well, the problem is that the interior is laser proof.
That's what I'm getting at.
So what happens is the bolt goes through the exterior and then it ricochets back and forth off the inner and outer armor plating.
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Yeah. It's sort of...
Empire was lying this whole time, because what is it that they're supposed to be wearing? Plastisteel, but really it's just plastic. They just wanted the guys to feel invulnerable.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, I know. It's plastisteel. Oh, you're not going to feel anything. Just go on out there.
Yeah,
that's because what will happen is you'll get the Imperials there, like, you know, on really boring details on some backwater planet where nothing happens.
Uh-huh.
And so inevitably it you know, they get drunk. And one's like, hey, come on, just go ahead and shoot me, because it's plastisteel. I'll be okay. Just shoot me, Bill. And Bill shoots him, and, you know, next thing you know, he's facing an Imperial firing squad himself.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
well, wait, hold on, because I want to elaborate on that, because not only are they not laser-proof, but they're not rock-proof, they're not club-proof.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not arrow-proof.
They're not arrow-proof. I mean,
they're not look-at-you cross-eyed-proof.
It's like they're wearing Tupperware or something.
Well, yeah, they kind of are, but that's...
Hey, at least they're fresh. You never saw a single stormtrooper spoil.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm going to throw this out there. Since we were saying that they're able to penetrate the outer shell, but once they're inside, it's laser-proof. This is what I'm thinking. When they first came up, when they were trying to design the things, they originally had them inside out to where they were black. So they were black troopers. And Vader saw it and said, no, 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 no. I want to be the only one dressed in black. Y'all need to be white. So they thought, oh, shoot. Well, you know what? Let's just reverse it. And, you know, it's white on the inside, so let's just reverse these.
Yeah.
So they start...
And how would that explain the TIE fighter pilot?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah,
I never see them burst into flames.
Actually, yeah, they do.
but they don't have the standard armor.
You know, nothing's crashed into an asteroid proof.
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
Well, actually, in Empire Strikes Back, if you slow the film down, you can actually see what people believe is an ejected TIE fighter pilot, and he blows up.
Huh.
I'm not making this up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he, you know, once he was outside, he was reaching around to try to find something to, like the, you know, the heater.
Maybe that's it.
It probably has, like, heated seat cushions.
Heated seat cushions.
Like in a really nice luxury automobile.
Yeah.
And he's reaching for the heater button and accidentally hits the self-destruct. Why they put the two so close to each other.
Honestly, I just don't know. I think that one fan film is right. They were designed so that they would get shot.
Mm-hmm.
They're just cannon fodder.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they've got so many of them. Actually, the problem is by the time the rebellion was really getting into a fever pitch, the Empire had a surplus of troopers.
Oh, gosh.
That's why there's so many. Like when Vader comes and later the Emperor, they wheel them all out there because they got nowhere else to put them.
Yeah, and they probably
that wasn't an assembly.
Kill them off.
Yeah,
like penguins.
So you're saying that wasn't an assembly? That's just they rotate big
storage.
Groups.
The shuttle landed in a storage bay.
So they just
they
take
had no
shifts.
Place to put those guys. You guys just stand over here. Oh look, the Emperor. Can you guys that way? You move that way. Make room for the ship.
So they have to go and shift. So they you know, they stay a few hours and they shift out to the next group and then, you know.
It's like Disney. You know, they go out in the park for a few hours and they go.
Oh, man, man.
Okay, here's a little, speaking of the Emperor Landing, I'm going to give you a little trivia.
Okay.
Can you name, sounds easy, but can you name the types of Imperial characters that line up to see the Emperor?
The dignitaries?
Not the dignitaries, but I mean, like, if I...
Oh,
like,
the different soldiers?
Like, oh, you got a stormtrooper, you got biker scouts. Can you do that?
I know there were TIE fighter pilots, biker scouts, rank and file stormtroopers by the case.
Yep.
There was actually a one or two probots.
Yep.
There were some, the little, the black R2 units.
Yep.
And that's not just me being Eddie. There were...
Thanks.
I think they were taller and could jump.
Black R2 units. No, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
Eddie wanted on his sports team.
Okay.
And they all sound like Samuel Jackson.
Skip the racism. Let's just move on.
Yes. And there were...
Wasn't there a Cylon?
Oh, of course there were, you know, you had your officers, and I think were there some AT-ST drivers and such?
Yeah, and there's one that you didn't mention, and it was just...
Oh, the chefs, of course. The sky chefs?
The what?
The sky chefs. You know, they're the ones who make the in-flight meals.
Sky chefs. I heard sky chef.
Oh, or they were there,
no.
too.
No. No, there's a group called Mechanical Crewmen.
Oh.
Yeah, and it is the weirdest looking costume. It literally looks like the prop department just gave up.
Oh, yeah? You can see it on film?
Barely. And this is where the 501st actually serves a purpose, because it was like discovered by one of the 501st members who had a lot of time on his hands. And what it is think of like a TIE fighter pilot, okay? So you got the black coveralls, no belt, boots, no gloves.
Oh, I'm looking at it.
And he's got a red undershirt, and he just basically has a skull cap with an Imperial cog right on top.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's like a cheap version of the Death Squad commander's helmet.
Yeah, it's like the Death Squad commander, but... Yeah, you take away the bottom part of the helmet and the padding, like the cool. You put it in. He looks like Michael Myers with a helmet on his head.
Mechanical crewman.
Oh, wow. And yeah, here's a screenshot. You can see there's more than one. How did I miss that? Good night.
It took me a long time to realize that there were actually TIE fighter pilots there when the Emperor landed.
Oh my gosh. In the screenshot, you see about 3, 6, 9, about a dozen of them in the shot.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't notice the probots are in that shot.
Yeah, I guess I've never noticed that either.
Yeah, there they are. They're just kind of like hanging out. Like, yeah, you know, we got stuff we could be doing.
They probably talk with that accent, too.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate the Emperor. I mean, you don't always get a chance to see him in the flesh and all, but, God, you know, guys...
Emperor Palpatine is the Antichrist.
Gosh. Yeah, there's some AT-ST drivers in the very back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't notice that either. Okay, well. Yeah, it's funny the things you don't notice, like in the new Star Trek. I didn't notice until someone pointed out that R2-D2 is floating amongst the space debris in one of the battle scenes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, what about the fact
That'll learn him.
The first movie is like a whole like audition video for J.J. Abrams to get into Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just everything, like down to the action sequences, the warp speed. He doesn't just say, you know, he has to say punch it, which is what Han Solo has said.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, my, no wonder I love the film so much.
Yeah, it's almost like, oh, by the way, if you're looking for a director for Star Wars... Just saying.
Yeah, here's a little fan film I made called Star Trek.
Oh, fan film.
It's like Star Wars, but with a twist.
Oh, wow.
And in case you didn't see my first fan film, I followed it up with another one called Star Trek Into Darkness.
That's why he made Cloverfield, because he wanted to snag the job for the Godzilla movie.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Did he grab the god?
Here's my Godzilla fan film.
Yeah.
This Isn't it nice when you can do fan films on a multi-million dollar budget?
I know, exactly.
But I can't help but wonder, though, if are the Rebel costumers, do they ever do, like, the guy in the hat who has to, like, wrangle tauntauns?
Yes.
Do they really?
That's your hardcore costumer who's going to waste his costuming money on that one.
No, there's a guy I thought was brilliant. There was a guy at Dragon Con that dressed as the crewman with the two light sticks that was directing the X-Wing.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was walking around, and, man, it was just fun to watch him interact with people.
Yeah.
I mean, what a simple costume, and it just worked so well.
And completely off topic, one of the best costumes I ever saw was a guy at Celebration dressed as the green dancer from the weird Bob Fosse choreographed dance number from the holiday special.
No, seriously?
Oh, yeah. I'll have to see if I can scare up the picture post it on the site sometime.
And
I also got a picture of him standing next to these two, you wouldn't know it from the costume, but there were these two chicks in a Bantha costume.
Oh, wow. Hey, and I got to point this out because Cole had a brilliant idea for a cosplay. He mentioned that somebody should cosplay as a Stormtrooper action figure from 77.
That would be so hard to do. I mean, the articulation alone would just be like 5 points.
Oh, but that's what it would make it funny. I mean, four points.
You'd have to have someone help you move around.
It wouldn't even be 5 points. It would just be the 4 points.
Right, because the head...
Yeah, you would never... You'd have to be able to just, like, leave your head completely...
Yeah, you'd be like Batman.
But you could, like, go out and, you know, get in costume contests. You'd have to have somebody wheel you out on a two-wheeler.
No,
like,
on a furniture dolly.
Like Hannibal Lecter or something.
Well, there was a person that went and won a costume contest at Celebration as a Kenner Luke Skywalker.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Complete with the package and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow,
the yellow hair,
dedication.
Yellow saber. Huh?
I think he actually had his arm surgically hollowed out.
It had the little lightsaber.
So, yeah, he actually had a lightsaber.
You know,
the
telescoping
lightsaber.
The way cosplay is going, it's only a matter of time.
To have a telescoping lightsaber
right.
Come out of your hand. Oh, gosh.
It's going to get to the point people will actually, you know, surgically alter themselves so they can do the ultimate cosplay.
Uh-huh.
I'm not joking. What about that guy in China that did that so that he looked like Superman?
Oh, wow.
I must have missed that.
Well, if you missed Cult Film Fanatics when we talked about Star Wars Holiday Special, I realized that back in 78, Mark Hamill actually cosplay as a Luke Skywalker action figure. Because if you see him in that special, that's pretty much what he looks like.
Oh, that's true, because they actually painted his face on.
He looks like a plastic action figure.
That's the girl.
He was cosplaying as the Luke character from the original script when Luke was a girl.
Oh, he was playing the Starkiller chick.
Yeah, the Starkiller chick, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay, since we're talking about costuming, I got to share this, because this is not something I would normally share. But back when I was, back in the 90s, I was working at MJ Designs, and for Halloween, I made my own Stormtrooper costume. I had the helmet. You know, it was like the Ben, what were those called? The company that used to make the helmets back in the 80s?
Don Post.
Oh, I was just saying Ben. Don Post. Yeah, Don Post. It was a Don Post helmet, but everything else was literally stuff I bought, like, at Thrift Town. Like, it was, like...
Econo Trooper.
Yeah. I used, like, trash cans. I used juice bottles for, like, the bicep parts. I mean, it sounds really goofy, and if I were to find a picture of how it looked, it probably is extremely goofy, but walking around, and this is back, like, in 93, you know, where walking around the store dressed like that, so many people were like, oh my gosh, you're a Stormtrooper, like, going crazy. Of course, now if I did that, it would look stupid because, you know, it's homemade.
And if you really want to feel good, there's a guy, man, I spend a lot of time on YouTube, there's a guy on YouTube that he has a like a how to make your own so-and-so. And he does, like, how to make your own X-Wing pilot, how to make your own Stormtrooper.
Yeah.
And the Stormtrooper is epic because it's like, he actually makes underwear, you know, to put for the crotch. And then, like, he's wearing actual, like, leggings, like black tights.
Yeah.
So is this like Imperial underwear?
No, you got to see it. You have to see it.
Because I think you should have Imperial issue underwear if you're really going to go in. If you're going to go all in, you have to kind of wear what the Empire would have sanctioned.
Those are called underwear.
Well, I mean, Lord knows I got the aim for it.
Yeah?
Good night.
Just ask my wife. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
That's not my fault. I'm sorry.
I think we got David in trouble over there. No more pillow talk tonight.
So I think we've we've done justice to talking all around Imperial things.
Uh-huh.
And probably glossed over a lot of stuff that might have been on my mind early on. And I don't care because this has been a fun show.
Oh, it definitely
has. Are we over already?
Not entirely, but we do have to we have to force ourselves to quit eventually.
Oh, get it forced.
Well, do you have any Bible first questions? Because you said you wanted some anecdotes or something like
that. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, what do you want?
I thought maybe you had something in mind.
Yeah, you said it. You said like you were chomping at the bit with the story.
Yeah, like, I got to tell the story. What do you want me to tell? It's your anecdote. You tell us.
No, I'm just going to. Oh, God, I don't even know where to begin.
I got a question.
Yes, ready.
What, of all these missions that y'all have been on, what is the oddest place you were sent to?
Oh, geez.
And please don't say my work.
Because we fed
y'all.
There was this little short Vader guy.
Yeah. You can't say anything because we fed y'all that day.
No. Your job was great.
Oh, I wish I thought that.
I think the first one that I ever did for myself
was
a Cub Scout, a Boy Scout thing I went to. And I went by myself in the middle of the summer.
Oh,
out
gosh.
Here in Texas.
Oh, my gosh.
And basically, they didn't tell me anything. And you got to understand that when we do these events, people think that we get paid. And so they have a tendency to treat us like employees.
Oh, yes.
And so they're, you know, they said, oh, we just want you to hand out some awards and take pictures of kids. I'm like, okay. Then after they were done with that, this lady goes, and this stormtrooper is going to stand and you guys can get in line and he's going to sign autographs. And I'm like, what am I doing? And so basically I'm out there for like an hour signing autographs, which is really hard to see when you're writing, you know.
Yeah.
And what I didn't realize this, but what was going on was when kids were when they were done, they were actually going back into the line.
Whoa.
And so, yeah. And
Let's take full advantage of the fact he can't see.
And that he's burning up to death.
Exactly. But no, this actually gets weirder because this kid asks me about my fake sidearm, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he goes, is that gun real? And I said, trying to stay in character, I said, well, yeah, it is. And he said, well, shoot something. And I said, no, I can't. There's rules and regulations.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, I hear an adult say, what rules and regulations?
What?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what? And I'm like, well, you know, rules and regulations, you know, because old people, you need to, you know, you need to have responsibility, and you can't, you know, trying to save stuff. To,
well, I think the problem was that was, to his perception, was a gun, so therefore there should not be no rules or regulations surrounding it.
Uh-huh.
But it was so bad that I ended up, when I was done, I undressed, and I saw, like, some fire ants leave my flight suit.
Wow.
And when I got home, I had bites all up and down my back.
Oh, wow.
And I was doing this the whole time while, like, signing autographs in black armor. And oh, God, I'm never doing that one again.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes me laugh at how much people actually think we get paid and so they can just kind of, oh, no. Oh, I got a weirder one. Okay, one more story. You're going to love this.
Okay. This one.
I got invited to a church.
Uh-huh.
And they were doing a really cool thing, you know. I mean, whether you're religious or not, you know, I don't want to get into that. But they were doing a thing where they were, like, integrating, you know, God in with movies. And, of course, you know, Star Wars is kind of a natural thing because, you know, there's some
We've actually talked on that subject here before, so don't feel too self.
Anyways, we thought, sure, why not? And so some of us went.
Yeah.
And we were expecting to be, you know, talking to the crowd, interacting, and taking pictures. No, they had us stand on a podium and be living statues for an hour and a half.
What?
No joke. No joke.
Wow.
And I actually got yelled at because I started talking to people.
Really?
Yeah. A woman came up to me, and it was the organizer's daughter came up to me and started yelling at me because I was, like, interacting with the group as I was on this podium.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you're supposed to keep your mouth shut. And I looked at her and I said, you keep your mouth shut.
Oh, nice.
But it was like, are you kidding me? I mean,
wow.
What the heck? Why am I on a podium? I mean, yeah, I kind of think I should be on a pedestal at some time in my life, but this is just too much.
Yeah. There must have been Episcopalian. Yeah. What? No, I didn't say
that. Oh, hey.
Yeah, I'm just ticking off everybody tonight. I better be quiet.
Yeah, really?
David,
we're going to talk after the show, okay?
That right there was the weirdest event I ever did that made absolutely no sense.
But, you know, I'm glad you brought up the fact that, you know, there was that aspect of going out and appearing places that there is that sort of perception that, you know, somehow it's okay to sort of, you know, command the 501st guys or treat them like employees and stuff like that, which, of course, is, you know, patently ridiculous and patently wrong. But it's the sort of thing that there's this sort of unfortunate, rule of unintended consequences that happens there where people don't really realize, especially if they're outside of the handful of people who arranged to have you guys come out for things, that, you know, nobody's paying you guys salary to come out and do this. And
right, we're donating our time. And it amazes me at the level of communication skill that some of the organizers want.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I'm the squad leader for right now. I'm actually leaving because I've done it for 2 years and I need a mental break.
Yeah.
But it amazes me because you try to be as clear as possible, and it still doesn't get through to them. Like one event, we were doing a really cool reading event for at TCU. It was at their practice facility, TCU football practice facility.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is awesome. And I told the guy, look, we need a place to change. We need I need a safe, secure place to change. Do you have that? He wrote back, yes, I do. And I get there, and it's probably the worst place to change because it's the public restroom.
Oh, gosh.
But it wasn't. No, it's worse than the public restroom. It was one of those unisex public restrooms where it's only good for one person, and you have to lock the door behind you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So basically, people were getting locked into the bathroom with our gear.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, what part of secure does...
I know.
It's got a door.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it would have been better if we had just changed the U-Haul out back. That would have been a little safer. But it's kind of interesting, the kind of predicament that you get put into. And the funny thing is, sometimes the events that you think are going to be the worst end up being, like, you know, the best.
Yeah.
Oh. You know? My favorite story is we were doing a birthday party at this, I forgot what the company's called, but it's like a jump house. I think it's called like Jump Around.
Uh-huh.
And there just happened to be another Star Wars birthday party.
Oh, wow.
And so we didn't know that that was a different Star Wars birthday party, so me and my friends walked right in. And the parents' jaws just dropped on the floor.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Boy, made their day, I bet, those kids.
Sure, it sure did. And we had to leave, but it was like, you know, one of the parents was like, honey, what, good job. Where did you find them? Oh.
I have to point out that this did remind me of back when Catherine and I had a little weekend comic and collectible shop. The aforementioned Jeffrey Carlton showed up at the shop during an event. We were It was during Free Comic Book Day, and we were also having the very first Convention Awareness Day, from which our sister site, the Convention Awareness Project, is an offshoot of that. And he came out in his clone trooper armor and hung out at the store for a while and then wandered the mall and everything. It was just really cool of him to do that. And my nephew, my brother, was there with his son. And so he asked, you know, he was a huge Star Wars fan. So he was just amazed. You know, he happened to be there when this was going on. And sort of like, he was just kind of looking at like, clone trooper. And I'm like, well, have you ever wanted to ask a clone trooper anything? And he looks right and goes, how do you go to the bathroom? The really funny thing was that about sometime around that time, maybe about a year or so later, we were selling at a convention, and Jeffrey came back. He was there at the convention in the armor, came and stood beside our table and just parked himself there like a statue.
Yeah.
One of the other dealers had wandered by because he kept coming over looking at stuff. He was really, you know, hoping he would make some money at his table so he could come and buy from us. And he comes over, he's like, wow, where'd you get that? I said, well, we just got it. We just got it. We just put it out.
Yeah.
He said, how much is it? I'm thinking, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, $300. And he disappears.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And he comes back later. And, of course, you know, Jeffrey wasn't going to stand there all day. But he comes back later and goes, oh, you sold it.
Oh,
like, seriously? You thought? You really? Oh. Oh, wow. Yes, we sold it, you strange person.
Oh.
But you know what? You know Albert Johnson, the guy who formed the 501st, you know that he has a prosthetic leg.
Oh.
And, in fact, that's how the club started, was the fact that he was in an accident. And so, you know, it was so bad he lost his leg. And while he was healing, he was getting bored. And so he's like, well, I want to wear stormtrooper armor. How do I do that? And so he went online and started a group, like literally like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But what he would do is, and he still does it, it's pretty funny, he'll stand there like a statue. And then kids will, like, touch him, and he'll fall over. But the only thing left standing is the prosthetic leg.
Oh, it's genius.
Oh, I would love it. Then I'd be like, hey, that's $300.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
That's a great guy. He really does have a great sense of humor.
That's awesome.
My favorite story he told me was apparently at Celebration 5, you get the phone call at like 8 in the morning from Steve Sansweet. And Steve says, hey, Albin, George is in the 501st room, George Lucas, and he wants to meet you. And Albin was so tired, he looked over at his wife, and he's like, I'm tired, you go talk to him.
You're kidding.
No, that is a true story. I'm like, dude, I just wish.
Had he met George Lucas previously?
Oh, yeah. Like, they've talked plenty of times.
Oh, okay, so when, like, that was his one chance to meet him.
Like, if Eddie or I would be like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would have ran down in my pajamas. Yes, yeah, George.
I'd have just run up there right then and, you know, even if I had to, like, you know, go and dress in such a hurry, I show up commando or something.
Just your boxers.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Man,
the ones that say, feel the power of the dark side right across the crotch.
Oh!
Oh, no, wait a minute, because I was actually thinking about coming up with, like, Star Wars dirty lingerie, things that say stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she may not look like much, but she's got to wear a count, kid.
Yeah.
Maybe that's impossible, even for a computer. Sorry about
do
that.
Or do not, there is no try.
Yeah, that's...
That's on the Star Wars labeled Insight.
Would it help if I get out and push?
Oh, wow.
Oh! Oh, nice. Okay, David, I got to ask. Obviously, you're a TIE fighter pilot in the 501st. Do you own any other type of armor?
Yeah, I'm working on Right now, let me see, I got a Cal Scarada, for those of you that like Expanded Universe.
Yeah.
Like, all my costumes are centered around short people, because I'm just realistic like that. Like, so, I'm not going to make it later.
Yeah. So Jawas, Ewoks.
No, I'm working on a Jawa. I'd love to get a Jawa, seriously.
Look at the short guy going after the shorter guy.
I know. All friends here. We can joke around.
Yeah, speak for yourself. But I got a Sand Trooper. I'm working on a Cal Scarada. Like, that's a great character. I'm also working on X-Wing Pilot.
Uh-huh.
So, are you working on the X-Wing Pilot so, like, in case you and Camille are fighting, you can, like, suit up?
Yeah,
I know you'd think, right?
Let's make this real! If you want to fight, we're going to make it real!
That's not fair, because she's going to pick the X-Wing pilot, because the X-Wings have shields. I got no shield as a TIE fighter pilot.
Oh, okay.
I'd blow up easily.
And there's the whole asteroid issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is none of your concern, okay? I'm using an ointment and a cream, and it should be gone within 7 to 10 days.
I have sympathy for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Drink plenty of cranberry juice.
That's right.
Those are called staroids, and we talked about them a couple of episodes back.
Oh, that's right. We did have the staroids. There were some serious staroids issues earlier, but it's pretty well cleared up. It's in remission. So I think that really we've run a little long, but again, I don't care. We're having fun, and
yeah.
The dark side has taken over, and we've had more just goofing off talking about Imperial stuff, but they deserve it. Because they're bad.
They're just misunderstood. Bad. They're misunderstood.
Bad Imperial. So, any closing thoughts, David, on the Empire and all of its minions?
Oh, boy. No, minions. Just a bunch of suckers, really. And if you see a TIE, you know what? No, I'm just going to encourage TIE fighter pilot awareness.
Okay, that's good.
If you see a short guy in black armor, it's not Vader. No, it's the difference between a Vader.
It might be if it's me.
Oh, that's true.
Good point.
I think what we need to do is just have an identification chart. You know your Vaders. If you see hoses, general rule of thumb, if you see hoses, it's not Vader.
There you go. See, it's a simple thing. So people don't get it. One of my favorite stories, I'll leave you with this.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I was at, we were at a, what was it? It was an event over at Dallas Cowboys Stadium, okay? And we actually had a bona fide, beautiful Darth Vader. I mean, this guy's the right height, girth, everything. He looks like Vader when he walks around. And I'm walking not too far behind him, and somebody takes a picture with Vader. And then this woman looks at me and says, "Look, honey, a smaller Vader."
I shall call him Mini Vader.
Yeah, I just was so defeated that day when that happened.
Oh, my God.
My wife's like, "How you doing? I'm like, fine."
I just sucked the wind out of your sail.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that sucked.
This should have been cooler than anything else, but no.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's so cute. Little Mini Vader.
Oh, God.
That is horrible.
He's your father.
One more story, and then you'll find, I think you'll like this. When I joined the 501st in Carolina Garrison, or in North Carolina, I had friends that were twin brothers in North Carolina, and they were both biker scouts, okay? And I was like, you, Eddie, I wanted to be a biker scout.
Yeah.
So I looked at him and I said, "Guys, I want to join and I want to be a biker scout. How do I become a biker scout?" And they looked at me and they said, "You know, David, we got enough biker scouts. You're kind of the right height for a TIE pilot, you know? We don't have too many of those. Why don't you be a TIE pilot?" And I'm like, "Yeah, okay. Okay." So I get the costume done, I get approved and everything. That whole year, every single person that joined was a biker scout. Every single person.
Oh my God.
There's a photo where it's me and 8 biker scouts.
Nice.
Yeah.
At least you stood out.
Yeah, it was Little Vader.
Oh, look, it's Little Vader and his biker scout gang.
Dark helmet.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. That should be like a little toy where you got a little toy Vader and you pull the string and he says different things.
In a high voice.
Yeah. And you squeeze him and he squeaks.
Little Vader.
Little Vader.
Oh, boy.
They're doing little everything nowadays. Why not little Vader?
Yeah, later. So, Eddie, you have any closing thoughts on in the Imperial entanglements we've had?
Biker Scouts are awesome. That's all.
What? Can you just... Yeah, I apologize for my co-host, David. He's just, like, jabbing you at every turn.
Oh, no. It's just, generally...
David's going to tell the heartfelt story about how he wanted to be a biker scout. And forced him.
That really was not meant in that way. It just, I honestly, because I was always obsessed with the stormtroopers. Obviously, you know, just, I wanted to be a stormtrooper so bad. But when Jedi came out, I was about 10 years old, so I was just old enough. And then I remember seeing a picture of them in Starlog, and I thought, oh, my gosh, a different type of stormtrooper. Obviously, we got snowtroopers, and they were different, but there was just something about
I guess I was wrong earlier. There was a variation in...
You know what, Eddie? Uh-huh. All I have to say is that the bathroom stalls are true. You suck.
That was supposed to be a secret.
So, yeah, I can kind of see where you're successfully backpedaling there. And,
I'm just going to be quiet.
That was a very cool design, and I know what you're saying there is when you first, as a 10-year-old, you see the biker scout, and you're thinking, that is so much cooler than the TIE fighter pilot.
Oh, yeah, and then when you actually saw the
look how he just fell right into my trap.
No, I was just saying, when you see the movie, and on top of that, they ride those really cool speeder bikes, that made it even better. I mean, they're not hitting any asteroids. Wait, no, I'll just...
Trees.
Hitting...
Yeah,
no,
trees.
George of the Jungle. Around. Trees are just standing there. They're hitting things that aren't moving.
George of the Jungle? Did you say George of the Jungle?
I said George of the Jungle. Yeah, exactly. You know, when the asteroids fly, the guy's flying one direction, the asteroids fly in the other, and all of a sudden the asteroid goes, hey, I'm going to be over there.
Yeah,
Did the tree stump do that? I don't think so.
It just stands there.
It wasn't the Whomping Willow from Harry Potter.
I didn't catch
you know
that
what?
Reference.
If you want to go swing, find a vine, and run into trees, go buy yourself a loincloth.
Hey, but at least...
Biker Scout lover.
At least if you're George of the Jungle, you can be a you can have two wives, apparently.
What?
He's Mormon?
You know he had two wives?
I didn't know that.
He was a bigamist.
He had an ape named Ape.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Because apparently George Jungle was not very imaginative.
Yeah.
He made a good pirate. Thank you. And with that, this has been really enjoyable because we went into this, we ran into David at HelioCon, and Eddie was there. Right when David shows up, Eddie is nowhere to be found, of course.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, oh, you know, David would be perfect for this show. Where's Eddie?
I was on a hunt for G.I. I was on a hunt for G.I. Joe comics.
Oh, that's true. So, you know, we got it all arranged. We got thinking, you know, we need to do a show just about the Empire. And I'm thinking we're going to do a show where we're just going to sit around, we're going to talk about the Empire. And it actually turned out to be something far better than my original plan. And I want to thank David for, you know, we got thinking, well, you know, David's on the 501st. We could, like, tell a couple of stories, and we'll do the boring, droll Empire thing we had planned. And it turned out that, no, in fact, just the 501st stories were amazing fun, and we got to goof around and talk about, you know, bad pot shot firing stormtroopers and ricochet armor. Mm-hmm. And this has just been a delight. So thank you both for getting us embroiled in these Imperial entanglements. And Eddie, despite the earlier contention otherwise, will be back with us.
I was starting to wonder.
Sorry,
this
David.
I thought this was my swan song for a minute.
I'm going to start my own show called Why I Hate Eddie.
Oh, gosh. Well, if you'll notice,
you catch Why I Hate Eddie right here on the JCD podcast.
If you'll notice, ever since Super Probo Sports Balls, I have not been asked back on Hate Kids Comics. I am not kidding.
Yeah, after that, we just decided to have a long run of Eddie Medina or Bobby Blakey just to spite you. But we are working on Super Pro Bowl Sports Balls, too.
Awesome. Just in time for the
so Super Bowl. So we will have you back for that. So with that, Eddie and I will be back in 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense. Thank you, everybody, and enjoy the Star Wars.
Good night.
Bye, guys.